Good afternoon, Montreal. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. It is 4 minutes after 2 p.m. on this lovely Thursday, and it's time for Movement Museum. I'm Allison Burns, here with Jen Doan and J.D. Papillon. And we're running the show today, as per usual. If you like what you hear, you can hear old episodes at movementmuseum.com. They're all got descriptions, so you can kind of search what you're interested in hearing about. We do a lot of interviews with some really cool individuals. You can also follow us on Twitter, you can like us on Facebook, and you can download us off iTunes. We do have a podcast, so check it out. It's usually the easiest way just to keep tuning in with Movement Museum. Anyway, let's get on to what's happening today, Jen.
Ooh, today's show is so packed, and it's so awesome because I'm going to be in a room filled with great people that I've known for a long time now in Montreal because we all went to school together at Concordia University. So I'm super excited to just be in this room and to share inspiration and to see what they're doing and help them get the word out. So on the first part of the show, we're going to have some of you out there probably, most likely, have heard about Salsa Descalza. So we have the beautiful lady who is behind that here, Carmen Ruiz, and another beautiful and talented lady who is also Andrea Nino, who is part of the project as well. They're going to be presenting a show at La Sala Rosa, so we're going to ask them a little bit about what they're doing. Gypsy Cumbia, that sounds so exotic and fun. What is it?
And it is.
Yes.
It is really exotic and it is really fun. It's a whole band. It's 12 musicians.
Wow.
And we're doing a great mix of bass percussion, Afro-Colombian percussion, mixed with gypsy melodies. And it's the arrival of the gypsies that coming into all these African roots together. And it's a whole orchestra, like it's really the Gypsy Cumbia Orchestra, but it's a multidisciplinary project. So we have a great dance and theater happening with it. And the whole concept, as it's always been with Salsa Descalza as well, is that the audiences are part of the show. It is not something you just watch. It's something that you enjoy in your whole body.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
So let's go back just a little bit before we go on to this amazing party, which I definitely will be partaking in. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Carmen, about like where you came from and, you know, your history, like even in the last 5 years since we finished school together at Concordia.
Yeah. Wow. It's been
a long time.
A long road.
5 years, but fast and exciting.
Yeah. Well, I come from a popular dance background, lots of salsa and folklore dancing. But then I did my contemporary training, like I discovered the beauty of improvisation and just trying and searching for movement vocabulary from your soul, from who you are. And that's a little bit what we do with Salsa Descalza. We're all artists that have had different kinds of trainings and different life experiences, and we bring that all together into a big sauce. Like it's a big spicy mix of rhythms and movements, and we've been teaching or. We don't like to say teaching. We like to say like exchanging and
sharing
and sharing workshops over the past 3 years already, 3.5, almost 4 already. Wow! and that way we have created like a really great community of people who just like enjoy dancing, like enjoy Latin music and folklore, drumming based music, but that like to explore that music and that rhythm in their own way and to feel how that, like what that does in their own bodies. Like, so it's totally different from the Latin scene in Montreal and I think like in general, like in North America.
Ooh. Getting bigger.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. totally.
Tell us about big.
Yeah, and with Salsa Descalza, we've been touring, like, actually Quebec. We went down to Mexico as well. We've been in New York, in the States.
In Cuba, too.
We went to Cuba to get training.
So let's jump over to Andrea and just get a little bit of her history as well, Andrea. I know you studied at LADMI.
Yeah.
And I met you through Melina Stinson. And, how are you involved with this project? And what has your journey been taking you, and how did it get you here?
Here. We are just not each other in the street. Dancing in the street.
I think we met at Nuit Blanche.
In Nuit Blanche.
Actually, dancing.
But, yeah, just trying to get some of my roots here. We share parties and we share moments together, and then we decide to do a collective. And we want to have a new space for the kind of dance which we like, which we dance, which we share. And because the way we start to dance is just sharing with our family. We want to have this space for sharing in between other persons and just
as a family.
As a family.
Yeah, that's something like it's important for us to say. It's like the Barefoot Salsa Collective. We are a collective, and that means like we try in our workshops and also in the way that we function to create a world that has no hierarchies. How do you say it? like it's
hierarchies.
Hierarchy. Thank you, Alice. So yeah, we work a lot in a circle, like different than other,
like very diplomatic and
but yeah, more just, than diplomatic, just like I don't know.
We don't like to have rules and roles. Yeah, I don't know.
Roles, yeah. Roles. Like,
we don't like
hierarchy.
The teacher who is in front, we are just all in a circle, and the person who wants to share something are invited to share.
Mm. Yeah.
We are not the only ones who know.
And that's how we work in the Barefoot Salsa as well. Like, we share roles for certain times, and we exchange it. Like whoever is in charge of doing different things, like we all take different roles at different times, and it's been a great learning journey. Really, mm-hmm. like to share with so many individuals their experiences and the way they dance and the way they move, which is, it tells a lot of who we are, right?
Yeah, and that's a really good like parallel to take and structure into the real world, where we learn to work together again, and there isn't as much of a hierarchy, but everybody has responsibilities and everyone contributes to a greater vision. So it's like, it's anyways, that's the direction that we need to go in, you know, communities, dancing,
totally.
Working together. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. And that's totally what we believe with the Barefoot Salsa and what we try to share and make people part in with what we do. And then just to say, like, we ended up taking this long journey that was like a year long. We've been different places all over, as I said before, and that made us to reflect a lot about that idea of the gypsies. We were called the Latino gypsies everywhere we went. So we decided to
where did you guys go? Where did you guys go? I'm curious.
Around Quebec. We went to Cuba. We went down the States.
Mexico?
And all around Mexico. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we came back and we're doing now the Gypsy Cumbia Orchestra, taking in a lot of the great, amazing musicians from all over that we find here in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So we have really talented people working with us, trumpets, tuba, trombones, clarinet, violins, it's accordion, percussions, and then dancers, circus. we're really trying
You're right, it is a spicy soup.
Oh yeah.
Take with caution.
Yeah. And we have circus and dance and theater and
So Andrea, what do you how are you part of this piece? Like, what have you contributed? You're dancing?
I'm actually a dancer.
Yes. What else have you
I'm dancing and I'm more taking part of the animation part of the
And all the visuals, like all that has to do with the costumes and putting together, you know, like a great show that it's visually engaging and physically engaging. That's what, that's an important part of the role. An important role.
I'm wondering how much does improvisational components take place in the show that you're going to be presenting? Is it all going to be choreographed, or is there going to be a lot of improvisation interacting with the audience?
It's all a lot of
all is choreographed, but we ended up by improvisation all the time because we never know what's going on.
Yeah, that's the beauty of working like this type of work that we do, that brings in the moment and brings in the people who are taking part of who are there in the moment. Is that we work a lot on it. We had 3-week residency this summer, plus like a lot of extra hours in studio, putting together the music and putting together the dance and the performance all together. But it's the spirit of the moment that really takes place. And even for us, like with the Barefoot Salsa, we were the collective with a smaller group of facilitators and artists, and since we've been working together for so long, like we really do a lot of improvising together for shows and for workshops. Like we basically have fun together, and I think that's what people get. And now that we have this bigger group and this, you know, it's just we're getting to know each other, and hopefully we'll get to the point where like each person will feel so comfortable to just like completely improvise and freestyle on stage. But it's definitely a lot of it will depend on the people who are there and you know, like what the night will bring us to all of us. Totally.
So Carmen, with these projects and like the amount of work you guys are generating and have been so active, it sounds like, in the last several years, how do you guys fund yourself? That's an important kind of aspect of, you know, the creation of what we do.
Let's talk about the
fun financial part. How do you guys do it? You have you guys contribute a lot yourself. You guys have public funding too, a mix.
Unfortunately, we haven't. We have been applying a lot for grants, and so far we haven't got, in terms of grants for these specific projects, we haven't really get a lot of public funding. I think it's such a new concept, and it's so different from like the contemporary dance scene in Quebec.
Other kind of dancing.
Yeah,
it's very hard to describe in paper how. What we do, because at the same time, because we are open to change it in the moment, we always end up for say it's kind of that, but at the same time,
I think the more we experience it and we work on it, like I think the better we get at describing it, but it's been a process of really just like doing and learning throughout doing, and now we are starting to understand like, oh yeah, we have actually developed a whole method of teaching by trying and by letting people like, as Andrea said, like people just to come and share what they know, and so we have now like a full bag of different exercises, a full bag of like choreographies, and 2 pieces that we've done with Barefoot Salsa, plus this piece that we put together with the Gypsy Cumbia Orchestra, which is called Melquiades Pas de Gitan. So in terms of public funding, that's not been really a way, but we do, it's all autogestion. Like we do, what we, when we do our stuff, like people contribute. Mm-hmm. Mostly, when we organize it, is mostly pay what we, what you can. Yeah. For we get hired by other people to do animations and workshops and shows in their activities. A lot has to do with community,
the community events.
Community events, like and then for the Sala Rosa, there's a cover charge for this event. It's only $10, which is not bad for a really cool show and for an amazing dance party on a Friday night in Montreal. And it's important because we're like 15 artists plus a lighting designer plus
15 artists is a lot of artists.
Yeah,
that's an amazing group. And I think what's really great is I feel like you guys are in such an awesome place to be growing as this like collective, because even though you're not getting public funding, it's showing and it's like proving that you can still make your art alive and grow it and not be dependent on that. Because in a way, when you don't get the money, it makes you stronger, it makes you work harder, and then it makes, you know, what you show have to be in a way more accessible as well for people to really like, you know, contribute and come and support and stuff like that. And also just, letting it grow organically means you guys are being innovative. So I think that's, it's a great thing that you're sharing.
I actually want to, like, just say thank you to the programs that we use, actually have in Coup de Pouce.
Coup de Pouce, Jean Volontaire.
Jean Volontaire.
Jean Volontaire at one point was really helpful to get the website up. And And then Projet Art et Culture Montréal has been also really helpful with the Gypsy Cumbia Orchestra. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been some support. But I think it's what you say is really true. Like, on one hand, I think art should be, it's a public matter and from the public interest. So it should be supported by governments and by institutions. And at the same time, as you say, like, we all artists, and when I say that, I mean like all peoples. Like, we have to realize that we are creative souls, and that, you know, like, we are creative beings, and that, as you said before, like, if we take in that idea and we start making our lives surrounded by that creative energy and that idea of collectivity and that idea of supporting each other, like, I think we can go a lot farther as a society and as individuals, as peoples. So,
Karin, you're a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
I miss you. I miss you.
Now I'm in mother's world, so.
Yeah, Carmen is a mother. Wow, on fire too. Carrying a baby.
Wow, that's the biggest.
You're a warrior. You're a warrior. Okay, do you have something you want
to
add?
I feel that this communal aspect to creation and to representation is growing a lot in Montreal, that you get a lot more opportunities to produce projects which combine a lot of different things, a lot of different artists coming together. How do you feel that this scene, like, holds in Montreal right now? Do you feel that it's something that's developing itself more, or do you feel that you're sort of on the fringe very much right now of just like creating all together and as a group of people, not just like one leader and people underneath? Do you feel that this is something that you see more now?
I like to think that yes. and that's something like that when you travel, you see it. And maybe sometimes I feel maybe because when you're traveling, like, you get to see, like, the fringe of things, as you said. Like, you're sort of, like, out of the media or, like, the routine of life. And so you get to see other things. But we've seen it here in Montreal, too, with Occupy Montreal and with all these social movements that are happening, like, the environmental movement, the queer movement. It is happening that we are, like, people are starting to rise up and to say, like, okay, we gotta change, like, this idea that we live in boxes and we have to continue to be in boxes and just following what a leader says. I don't think it's not happening as fast as we would like to.
It's hard to measure that one. Time is so relative.
That's true, too. So I feel that, yeah, there's a vibe. Like, I don't think that we are inventing, like, we never invent anything new. Like, we just pick up from the vibe that is happening in the world, and that's why we... In Barefoot Salsa, we came together, and that's why also like people have been like so excited to join in for the Gypsy Cumbia. Like all the artists that are participating, and just like, oh wow, we know like this is crazy. We know we're a lot of artists. We know that maybe we won't get paid tomorrow.
Yeah,
but we want to do it. We have something to share, and so you know, like I think it is happening. It is happening. Yeah. Definitely.
Any other coming projects, maybe workshops that you guys are organizing soon that our audience members could be interested in partaking?
How do we participate in this?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's intriguing, you know?
We have the workshops one time at the month.
Yeah, it's like a monthly workshop.
The first Thursday?
First Tuesday.
Tuesday of each month. And I think that's going to be at Bad Popular. But yeah, it's just
so, yeah.
Keep an eye on that because we don't know.
Yeah, it's before we did it like a weekly workshop, now we're doing a monthly workshop. It's probably going to happen at Bar Populaire. We're trying to go back to our old house. This is where we were for a couple of years in the past, and probably this is where it's going to happen, the next workshop. And then we're throwing this party and great event tomorrow, 14th of September at Sala Rosa. Doors open at 9. Show will start at around 10. And that's, as I was telling you guys before, like our idea is to establish a monthly party as well. Mm. So the next one will be on October the 20th. But just come and check it out. Come and check it out tomorrow, and then you're going to get excited and get the vibe of it. Lots of great dancing. 4848 Saint Laurent, that's the address at Sala Rosa. And you can check it out on online. We have our website, barefootsalsa.com, salsaopienu.com for the collective. Otherwise, gypsy.com for what is happening with the orchestra. It's the gypsycumbia.com. And gypsy written with two Y's and a K, in case you're wondering. And that's it. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
At the same time, we are a collective, so we have other projects at the same time. Yesenia, other girl of the collective, part of the collective, she's giving classes.
Oh yeah,
each week
on Saturdays
in Mashmepie, and Saturday it's afternoon 5, I think.
Awesome.
And the name is Pandanza, and I'm gonna start another piece, more contemporary, with other girls and. That's gonna coming soon, this year.
So we can find all this on the website, right?
Yeah, you can find all about that on the website and.
Okay, yeah. So that's I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be swimming in the hot soup, the spicy. I'm for sure gonna be there. I want to feel this. So thank you guys for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it's been such a pleasure, like you know, hearing about this, spreading the word. It sounds like something that is just going to. Fly and take over Montreal. So I wish you guys all the best, and I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna take a short break. Just before
we let these ladies leave the room, though, can you introduce for us this track that we're about to play?
Oh yeah, this is L'Orient en Rouge. It's one of the first songs that we are recording with the Gypsy Cumbia. And you're gonna feel it. It's a lot of it's a traditional right now. We're bringing back a traditional gypsy melodies from Eastern Europe and Afro-Colombian percussion. So enjoy it, dance it, wherever you are, and come tomorrow to have some more. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
You should be a host.
Welcome back to the second half of Movement Museum here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm Alison Burns here with Jen Doan and J.D. Papillon. And our guests have left, our first guests, who were Carmen Ruiz and Andrea Nino from
Salsa Descalza.
There you go. That was a great interview. And now we have more friends in studio for the second half hour.
This is just we like friends.
This is like reunion day at Movement Museum. So our second guest for the next half of the show, or until she runs out of things to say, is Amy Blackmore.
Hey, hey.
From about a million different things in the city, but what we're going to focus on today is her role as artistic director of Bouge DC.
That is right.
Do you want to get us started with what is Bouge DC?
Oh my gosh, what is Bouge DC? Bouge DC is moving away from here. Bouge DC is movement from here. Bouge DC can mean a lot of things, but for us these days, Bouge DC is the upcoming dance festival in January in the Plateau Mile End. It's a dance festival that focuses all around emerging dance artists, around making dance accessible to the public, promoting a healthy lifestyle, and sort of really where the one of the indie scenes in dance is buzzing these days.
cool. And let's talk about Bouge DC, the festival, and what that is all about.
Sure. Well, the festival, like I was saying, it is in January. Most of the events focus around mainline theater, so very Plateau Mile-End feel to it. And what's happening at the festival this year, so far confirmed, is our main show, which is called Common Space. And what Common Space is it's an opportunity for young artists or old. You know, we like to let everybody decide whether they are emerging or not. You can be emerging for 10 years. It doesn't matter. We still want you at Bouge DC. But so Common Space is a showcase of these emerging artists. They're given an opportunity to remount a work and rework it with the help of a mentor. Mm-hmm. And it's a process that for our artists will begin in late October and go all the way up until the festival. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. That's my favorite part of it, of course. It's the reason why we had a festival in the first place, is because we actually just started with that show.
I remember the very first Common Space.
Oh yes.
And I'm so glad that I was a part of that. So yeah, and it's grown so much. How many years has it been?
We've been doing the show for 5 years, and we've been doing the festival for four now. This will be the fourth edition, which I can't believe it. I'm looking around the room, and Allison was a part of the first Common Space as well with Jen, and I can't believe that was almost 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. All the cards are on the table now. You know why we're invested in this project.
Oh, yes, and Allison, I mean, you've got a huge role in this. I'm going to turn the mic around. I'm going to interview you as well, because I feel like you're like obviously a big part of this as well. Tell us what your role is.
The official title we've come up with is Associate Artistic Producer.
Love it.
And it took a lot of kind of figuring out. Something beautiful about the festival is that we all kind of started doing everything and all kind of started really invested in the project until it got so big that we had to kind of reevaluate our roles and kind of center ourselves on one aspect of the production. So for me, this is like a more defined year as we get bigger and bigger. And so I'm going to be producing the Common Space Showcase, or leading that. Now, of course, I'm not going to do it alone. There's a lot of us on the team, and everybody is super important.
I think that's one of the things that I really like about Bouge DC as a team and as an organization that I've appreciated, is that we started out just as a group of friends who wanted a chance to remount a work together. So together we found a space, we mentored each other, some of us even danced for each other. And then over the years, what Allison's saying is totally accurate. You know, there were a lot of blurred lines. We were all a part of everybody else's process, even just as a organizing committee. And I think for us as a festival, this is going to be a defining year where we have grown quite a bit, and things are a little more defined. So I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with that.
Bye. There's a really nice story about how Bouge DC first started. Would you like to tell us a bit about what influenced you in the first place to create the festival? Because I think it's worth sharing.
Sure. I mean, I'm a Montreal festival buff to begin with. I love festivals. I also work for the Montreal Fringe Festival, if I can say that. And I'm always looking for an excuse to bring people together. But that said, it must have been 2007. I was a student at the Concordia Dance Department, and for those of you who aren't familiar with that department, if you're a student, you take a choreography class, and you have 3 months to create a work and show it at the end of the semester, and then that work sort of disappears, and you start a new process in January. And so this is the end of my first semester in my second year. It was my first big choreography, and I was standing outside at intermission with a teacher of mine, the late Ken Roy, who actually passed away this year. And I was standing outside with him and said, "Man, Ken, you know, I really want a chance to just like keep pushing, and I want to show my work again. It really sucks that we have to start a new process right away. Like, can't I just fake it and do the same thing again?" And you know, Ken just looked at me in this sort of matter-of-fact way that he always used to talk, and he was just like, "Amy, why don't you just do it?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Just do it. Just, you know, get a group of friends together, rent a space, and do a show." And I said, "You mean like a one-nighter?" And he said, no, do a weekend, you know, get everybody together, make it a thing, charge money at the door, and, you know, it'll be great. That'll be your opportunity." And I remember just standing there looking at him being like, how did you just make everything so simple? Sounds so simple. And then a month and a half later was the first edition of Common Space.
But simple doesn't always mean easy. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and through, like, from that humble beginning to now the fifth edition of the Common Space Showcase, we've really kind of clarified what the opportunity is in that we match every applicant up with a mentor and really make it a supported process from taking one work and evolving it into something better. Bouge DC takes care of production and you get an artistic mentor paired up with you, and you really have the opportunity to just be an artist and really expand your skills and your work.
Allison, you know, you explain really well the criteria for applicants to get into the showcase. Do you mind actually going ahead and doing that?
Sure. There are four criteria, and they're equally important. The first being the quality of the work. We're not saying that you have to come with something that would look good at the Art Maisonneuve. We're saying that it's something that has potential, that has quality, that has a base to start off with. And then there has to be a plan, a willingness and an eagerness to work further. It's not just putting on your show again. It's really wanting to take advantage of this opportunity to further the work. Also, you have to be an emerging choreographer. And as Amy was saying before, it doesn't mean that that you're 20 and you're ready to get started. You can, you know, be 50. Why not? And come into this, if you consider yourself an emerging choreographer, and we can see that that is true, if you're not, you know, in Tangente and Agora's program regularly, okay, we're gonna consider you as emerging.
Totally, and, you know, we've even had applicants come from theater backgrounds, so mm-hmm. they've been, you know, theater practitioners for more than 10 years, and then they decide to cross over into dance because they do more physical theater, et cetera, et cetera, just to say, but yeah.
Absolutely, and on that note, too, we want to emphasize that it's a contemporary process. It's not necessarily a contemporary dance. We've had people come from a breakdance background. Like Amy said, we had people come from a theater background. If you're willing to go through this contemporary process with us, we'll accept your movement piece. It doesn't have to fall under the category of contemporary dance. And the final criteria is, of course, that it works in our showcase. So, of course, it's going to be a grab bag for the Common Space final showcase. It's always a little bit of something for everybody when we put it together, but it has to somehow fit there. And that also means that it has to be less than 10 minutes in length.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because we want to have as many people participate as possible and give them that space to make a longer work, but 10 minutes is our cutoff at this point in time.
I've got to say, I'm so excited because applications are due so soon. They're due on the 8th of October at 6 p.m. And that's right after Thanksgiving weekend, which we always choose that as our deadline, especially for students. You know, it's nice for them to have the Monday off and then give in their application at 6 p.m. that day.
Yeah, I think that's a note too, just in your schedule. If you're going to be applying last minute, remember that Thanksgiving's right about there. So you might want to do some planning in advance.
I'd like to discuss a bit the mentoring system, because it's for me, Bouge DC, that's one of the most attractive aspects of it, because it's rare that you get this opportunity really to be paired with a mentor who is an experienced choreographer who comes from a different perspective of your work. How do you approach that, the whole mentoring system, like, of putting someone with an emerging choreographer to really see their work being furthered?
It's interesting. Maybe I'll start with sort of the history of mentoring at Bouge DC. When Bouge DC began, we weren't even a festival yet. And like I said, it was just a group of friends, a group of dancers that got together. And we started by just mentoring each other. And then the following year, when we actually opened up the show Common Space to an application process, we decided that us as a planning committee, we would mentor all of our artists that we accepted, which was a lot of fun, a lot of work, but we also realized a little too much. So then we thought, why don't we start bringing in professionals from the dance community to come in and be mentors? So that was the year that we started having people like Sasha Kleinplatz, Andrew Tay, Ken Roy, Jeremy Hechtman, and other people from the community. They started to really show interest. And then now we're at a point where when we have a mentor work with us, there's sort of set parameters that we put forth. A mentor needs to work a certain amount of hours with our choreographers and dancers. The mentors aren't paid, so how they go about using these hours is really up to them. It can be over coffee at a second cup. It can be in the studio. It can be through email, watching video, giving feedback, whatever they really feel is necessary. It can be at the beginning of the process, at the end, in the middle. We're really open to how they go about that. And I think for us as an organization, the hardest part is figuring out which mentor to put with which artist. Because that is tough, you know, trying to figure out and predict who's going to work together. And usually what we do is we offer our mentors, let me re-explain. When somebody agrees to be a mentor with us, what we do is we say, okay, let's see who's going to be in the festival. And if there's somebody we think might work well with you, we'll bring you on. So we'll send a mentor, let's say, the application that the artist fills out, and the mentor takes a look at it and decides, you know what, this isn't really a process I want to be involved in. Or, hey, you know what, I did this clowning workshop once, and I think that some of the knowledge I have could really help, you know. So that's sort of the basics of it. And even beyond that, one of the things that I really enjoy is that the mentorship goes beyond that show. I have a mentor, and it's Jeremy Heckman from Mainline Theater. You know, whenever I have a question about Boosty C, I don't know what to do with it, I go to him. Heather Keeler, our technical director, you know, she has mentors like Paul Chambers and Tim Rodriguez, who a lot of people know in the dance community as wicked lighting designers and technical directors as well.
Yeah, and there's another philosophy outside of mentorship, but it also works with it in the festival. It's about community. Mm-hmm. A big part of what Bouge DC is all about is community, and mixing people from different places. It's not just a Concordia showcase. We've had artists from L'Admi, from UQAM, and we are looking for everyone and anyone to come and apply. We want to grow this community. And how this relates to mentorship as well is mixing different levels. You have the emerging artists mixing with more established artists, not just in their process, but also at events that Bouge DC hosts. And just really allowing people to meet people where they might not otherwise have the opportunity to do so.
Allison, I'm glad that you mentioned that it's not necessarily a Concordia showcase, because it used to be. It used to be that to a certain extent, because the group that came together to organize it, we're all from Concordia. And yeah, recently we've had more interest outside of our own circles. So if you're out there and you're not from Concordia, no, if you're from Concordia, contact us too. But, you know, if you're from École Supérieure, if you're from L'Admi, if you are a part of L'Atypique Collectif, if your name is Corinne Crène Desjardins, Elise Bergeron, I know there's people out there who are doing really great work, and you guys should contact us and be a part of our community. Our email is info@bougedc.com, just to be sure. And you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter, and yeah, you know, we're always looking for new ideas, new events, and new voices.
Yeah, so the big takeaway from the discussion today, because we will be talking about BHGC in the future this year,
I hope so.
But the takeaway is that applications are available, and you have until October 8th at 6 p.m. to fill out an application form. It's very easy. You go to bougedc.com. It's online, English and French. You just attach your CV, you put a link up for your video, and you fill out the application form, and you're good to go. So please, apply. You never know.
I have something weird to add to this. On my way over here, I Googled Bouge DC so I could remember the email address. And then, of course, I didn't. But oddly enough, Bouge DC came up as the first, what's it called? First website?
Like the first hit?
The search engine?
Thank you, yes. And then, but the second one was Movement Museum. And I thought that was really nice. And it made me realize Movement Museum has been a supporter of Bouge DC from the beginning, even before some of you guys were involved with it. So thanks, guys. It's awesome.
Thank you for coming on today, Amy.
No problem.
So there you go. Go to bougedc.com. Learn about us. Fill out the application form. Okay. I'm done. We've also posted a whole bunch of information on the blog, on our Movement Museum blog, so you can check out the information there if you didn't have a pen right now. So we still have some time left in our program, and we do have some more stuff to deal with. Jen, you have 10 minutes. Do you think that's enough time to do your review, or would you like us to go straight to Dance Calendar?
Let's go to Dance Calendar. Let's save the reviews for next week.
Sounds good.
Because we got some things we should mention for Dance Calendar.
Well, let's just tell the listening audience what we will be reviewing next week so that they can start salivating about it.
Well, I watched Entre Flammes et Fumée by José Gagnon, and she was on here a couple of weeks ago, and we talked to her about her solo cabaret show. It was beautiful, and I'll get more into it next week.
Fair enough.
Yes.
And you also saw?
Oh my gosh, I went to see Raoul.
Ooh.
I'm going tonight, so I don't want to hear about it. But
yes.
But thumbs up, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that next week.
But it's still running, so if mm-hmm. anybody out there is interested. So that also bleeds into Dance Calendar, because it's still playing. And JD, you had something to mention about Flamenco Festival?
Yeah, it's the first edition of the Festival Flamenco Montreal, which is going on from September 15th to September 22nd. And it's a bunch of different events, all centered around flamenco. And there are some presentations which are a bit more traditional, classic flamenco. There's another one that's by Caroline Planté and Cruchetta Flamenco, which will be presented at De Jésus on September 22nd at 8 p.m., which is a lot more contemporary flamenco. And I think it could be something really interesting, because I myself don't know much about flamenco. I don't know about you guys, but it's not something that we get to see often in the contemporary dance scene. And it's kind of interesting to have this festival, which will give us a bit of a flavor of the current flamenco scene. And if you want to check it out, it's the website is www.fflam.org.
Flam.
So I think that should be a really nice festival to look forward to. And there's also videos being presented and workshops and all of that. So, you know, people should check out the website, see if it's something that could interest them.
Cool.
You know, what I realized is we were talking about Raoul, but we didn't actually tell our listeners much detail. But
I think everybody just know by the name.
I know. I feel like they should. But just in case they don't, it's playing at Do'u. And I don't know how I would explain the genre of his work, but just to put some things out there, he is the grandson of Charlie Chaplin, and he was basically born into show business, and it's just phenomenal what he's able to do on stage. So, yeah, you guys can look up To'u, the circus venue there out very far east, kind of. So, yeah, check that out. For sure, don't miss it.
And Andrian, who we had on earlier, said that she's actually seen it twice.
Ooh, yes.
Which is, I think, a big promo, because I don't know how many shows I've actually gone to see twice. So there you go. I wanted to talk about Quartier Danse a little bit. I went to see their opening night last night at the Studio Hydro-Québec at Monument National. And it was kind of a smorgasbord of pieces. There were 7 works shown, and I've written a full review for Bloody Underrated that you can go check out at bloodyunderrated.com. But what I'm going to talk about is just there were a few of the pieces that were excerpts from larger productions that are happening throughout the festival this week. So I wanted to point those out because you still have a chance to go see some of them. Manuel Roch, who we are trying to get in studio for next week.
Probably next week on the show, yeah.
Which would be great, because he's doing as a co-production with Tangente and Quartier Danse. He's putting on a production at Studio Hydro-Québec at Monument National, and it's called Ne meurs pas tout de suite, on nous regarde, and it's playing from the 20th to the 22nd. It's a very kind of clownish, theatrical, kind of wordless,
surrealist.
Yeah, they're balloons everywhere, paper crowns. It's kind of based on Adam and Eve, a post-apocalyptic Adam and Eve, the last two people left on Earth, the last man and last woman on Earth. And it seems very heartfelt, but kind of pointless or whimsical. Like, it's definitely intriguing. And I'm looking forward to talking to Manuel about the work next week. And if that sounds like it's your style, go check it out. Another piece. There was an excerpt from Mandala Situ, which is a new collective. It's created by these emerging choreographers. There's 4 male choreographers and 4 female performers. this collective?
Yeah? If I can just say, though, actually, Mandala C2 is a company that uses outside choreographers that they bring into their collective to choreograph on the dancers of the company.
Okay.
And that's a process that they did this time using four male choreographers, which was, I think, a first for them to have male choreographers coming in to choreograph for the dancers.
Great. Thanks for clearing that up. So you go. And the results were stunning. It was only a 10-minute excerpt. Actually, I think that's the... Yeah, it's an excerpt from their full show, which is playing at Maison de la Culture, Rosemont, La Petite Patrie, on September 21st at 9 p.m. for free. And it was a really impressive show. It was a really kind of logical, clean, very feminine, very... very well thought out movement phrases that were interwoven and played around with in a really satisfyingly simple and logical way. And I really appreciated it. They were also very strong performers. So yeah, you can check out Mandala C2 on September 21st, and you don't have to pay anything for it. So come on. And the highlight of the evening for me was Tentacle Tribe's performance. This is a duo, a Swedish-Canadian duo, male-female, and they presented the work called When They Fall. And this piece will also be shown in a showcase tonight at Monument National at 7:30 alongside some other emerging choreographers, including Hélène Messier, Elizabeth Suish, Audrey Bergeon, Rosalie Femelar, and Natalie Rivest. It's interesting to me that of the pieces last night, of the seven pieces, kind of the emerging artists were the ones that intrigued me the most. But the really Tentacle Tribes kind of blew me away. They use breakdance and pop and lock materials that they're both excel at so much, and they put it in a really they dress it up as contemporary dance, and they did a really good job. You know, it's been done poorly in the past, but this was done really, really well. And they're talented performers, and I could have watched that all night. So Tentacle Tribe, as part of the Emerging Artist Showcase tonight at Monument National, 7:30, go check it out. It would be worth it just for that piece. But I'm sure there's some talent in the rest of the show as well. So that's it for Dance Calendar. That's it for Movement Museum today. Any last words before we say goodbye to Montreal?
Yeah, it's really starting now, eh?
It's really
all the shows
on fire
all over.
Right now.
So everyone's got the homework to go out and like see some awesome dance shows. And hey, maybe tell us about something.
Drop us a line. You guys are shy, so don't be shy and come on our Facebook and our blog. Leave a little review or just say hello.
You could check us out at movementmuseum.com. Yeah, you can go to iTunes, like Jen was saying, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. And we'll see you next week here on CKUT 90.3 FM.